You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of wackiness and humor.
Yep. Unplanned, unscripted, slightly unhinged. I mess up. You never know if I'm going to mess up.
You never know what you're going to get with a Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It's like a box of chocolates. And that's actually kind of a little bit of a teaser because we've got Oscar news to talk about in our entertainment entree.
That's so, right. We do.
I killed two birds with one stone there.
Why are you killing birds, Rich? You shouldn't be doing that.
Sorry.
That's awful. I hit a seagull with a rock once. And I felt really bad about it. I was like a kid. Anyway, that's the confession for today.
Okay.
One confession per day.
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Yep. I have no idea what's going on tonight. It was starting off with random confessions.
You know how we work. It's just whatever comes out of our mouths.
Yep.
We have no filter.
Nope. And it gets recorded, because why not? But let's do some introductions here right now. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And how you doing, Mike?
I'm good. I'm excited. This is the second year of the Crispy Noodle Podcast now, officially started.
Kicking off officially second year.
Second year. Oh, man, it's great. But, yeah, this weekend, as you mentioned, the Oscars. That's what I was doing, watching the Oscars.
Yep. So, you gotta talk about the Oscars.
Yeah, but we're going to talk about in the entertainment entree. What have you been doing, though, Rich?
The Oscars was the big prevalent thing. I was catching up on some video games too.
I'm still
working through The Last of Us.
That's a tough game to work your way through.
Yeah.
Very stressful, but well worth it, I think.
This winter in Philadelphia just won't go away.
Yeah, luckily we just dodged a bullet, didn't we?
Yeah, they were calling for a big snowstorm earlier this week, but luckily it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, at one point they were saying 8 to 14 inches. I said, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
I got to get the bread and milk. They said snow! I got to get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
Yeah, if you were following me on Twitter, you'll find a picture of a deep fryer.
What?
Yeah.
I missed that one.
Yeah, you should be following my Twitter page more closely. I apparently walked into my house and there was a deep fryer in the kitchen. And I asked my mom, like, why is there a deep fryer in the kitchen? And she just simply says nonchalantly, just, they're calling for snow.
So, wait, what does the deep fryer have to do with
snow? We're stepping up the game here. It's no longer bread and milk.
I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh my God!
Apparently my mom...
I still don't understand why.
My mom jumped from bread and milk to deep frying everything.
What were you deep frying? Do you want to say? Everything?
Apparently my mom thought if this was going to be the snowstorm of the century, the only thing we were going to live on was
fried foods?
Deep fried food.
Died.
Yeah, we were gonna.
I can't eat another French fry, please.
We're gonna die of a heart attack before we die of the cold weather.
What does she think? You guys are like bears or something? You like you're gonna go into hibernation after you eat like all the fried food?
That's the sound the bear makes.
Gary Busey.
Your mom is great. She is funny.
Yeah, I just only my mom jumped from. Just snow in the area, okay, two. Oh my God, I need a deep fryer. I don't know who else would make that leap in logic.
Wow, that is amazing.
So that was my weekend.
You know, speaking of reactions to snow, though, I found just this short clip about some guy I think, summed up our feelings towards the whole winter season in general. So I figured we give this a quick play.
All right. Somebody else wants to chime in on all this snow that has hit Philadelphia. Let's play the clip.
I compare winter to be the Justin Bieber of seasons. It was kind of cute and exciting when it first started out, and now it's a bit obnoxious and should probably just stay in Canada.
Wow.
I guess that's a fair analysis.
Yeah, they can keep their wintry weather.
And where was this on?
It was on the news, some news station. It doesn't say. Sorry. There's our crack squad. Yeah. Our crack research squad.
This is so bad.
It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say? Look, so, I mean, it's on Failblog. They have no information here.
There you go.
They have nothing. It's just a video.
Well, there you go, our crack team here at the Crispy Noodle. I like that analogy. Let's hope that we have no more of this winter weather and we start finally moving into the spring. I mean, we're hitting March.
Yeah, I think we'll be good from here on out.
Yeah.
Hopefully. Knock on wood. Oh, crap. I just doomed us.
Look what you did, Mike.
Oh, God. I'm sorry.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow! I gotta get the bread and milk! I gotta get the bread and milk! Oh, my God!
All right, so there you go. Hopefully we don't have too much more panicked Northeast people consuming all the bread and milk and deep fryers.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know what always warms people up during these hard winter days? It's a little bit of sports news.
All right, so let's get started. It's time for our first topic. It's time for the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports!
All right. We got a few quick topics here to kick off our sports sampler. One of my favorite topics is first up. We're going back to football news, Rich.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitch and football.
All right, we're back into football.
What did I say before the show? Thank God we have football news again or something like that.
We've withheld football for 2 weeks, and Mike apparently...
I'm going through football withdrawal already.
Yeah, Mike already is
can't help it.
Having symptoms.
Symptoms.
He's like nurturing a nice football. Just like,
it'll be okay.
When will my baby come back?
August is almost here. Just a few more months.
You're a little off for August. But what do we got that is football news relevant?
Well, the Eagles have been making some big moves in the offseason so far with re-signing some of their key players from last year. The Eagles have announced that they've re-signed Jason Peters, Jason Kelsey, Riley Cooper, and Jeremy Maclin, and Cedric Thornton as well, to new deals. They re-signed Jason Peters to a 5-year deal and Jason Kelsey to a 7-year deal. So they're trying to lock down this offensive line that they have right now, which I think did a pretty good job this past year.
Yeah, I mean, to borrow an Andy Reid quote, it all starts with the offensive line.
It does start with the offensive line. You know, it's the first time in a while that we've had a consistent starting group play the whole year and really perform to the high standards that we expect of them. But we've also, here's the big news, we re-signed Riley Cooper to a 5-year deal after his breakout year last year, this mm-hmm. past year. What do you think of that move?
Hopefully he continues to deliver. My biggest fear is that, you know, once you sign the big juicy contract, then like, you know, you just kind of take it easy.
Are you afraid of like a downturn in production?
Yeah, especially in wide receivers. You know, wide receivers is really one of those year to year kind of deals.
Yeah, I mean, there's no telling what will happen. You know, Chip Kelly's offense was brand new. Riley Cooper really didn't play many games before that, a few, but not at the starting position. So now right. Maybe teams will be used to it and they'll be able to cover him adequately.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see if that nice contract is justified.
Well, it seems like the Eagles aren't putting all their eggs in one basket with Riley Cooper because they also re-signed Jeremy Maclin to a 1-year deal.
Yeah, Maclin, I thought, would be more of an issue, I think.
Right. Well, we have to see if he can come back from the injury.
That is true. Maclin is coming back from an injury.
Yeah. There's a lot of what-ifs with Maclin. Can he come back from the injury? Can he put up the same numbers that he did a few years ago? Is he in football shape? There's a lot of big questions surrounding him coming back and getting a spot in the starting lineup. But also some sad news along the wide receiver front. We had to release longtime Eagle Jason Avant.
Yeah, a little sad to see him go.
That's really sad. I mean, he was, you know, not one of the starters, but he was one of those team leaders.
Yeah.
He was one of the, I think, one of the longest tenured players here.
Probably.
Last year. I think so. Him and Trent Cole, probably.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, it's the nature of free agency. If your contract's up and they don't see any value in resigning you, yeah, you got to test the free market waters, unfortunately.
Not only that, but all of a sudden we have a very loaded position at wide receiver with DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, and Riley Cooper all vying for a spot. You know, Jason Avant would have been a fourth wide receiver. He wouldn't have seen the field that much.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of money, I guess. But he was an invaluable player during the past couple of years. A strong locker room presence got us through a couple of controversies recently. So sad to see him go, but wish him luck wherever he lands. But let's get to the bigger issue here. What do you think of these offseason moves, Rich, in general?
So far, I would say they're still in the realm of what I would expect.
Yeah.
Are
they exciting, though? I mean, I find them kind of exciting that we're locking up all these key players.
I think the best move is that offensive line, that core of offensive line that you know, we're trying to stay consistent with them. And that's really the first time the Eagles have ever tried to stay consistent with the offensive line in quite some time.
I mean, since Trey Thomas and John Runyon. Do
yeah.
you remember those guys?
Yeah, I remember yeah. John Runyon, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's a good first step.
Definitely, especially with a young quarterback.
Yeah. You want a quarterback that feels confident in his offensive line.
Right.
You know, because if you don't, then your quarterback is going to be under pressure, or at least feeling like he's under pressure, and then that's going to lead to worse play.
Exactly. And you want to also lock up that offensive line because they helped LeSean McCoy become the rushing leader this past year.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why the Eagles moved so quickly on that front to re-sign those offensive linemen.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it, you know, jaw-dropping? No. But is it the right steps? I think so far. I don't think they've done anything wrong or crazy or out there.
Right, I agree. I'm just excited that we're taking these steps. You know, we're getting our in-house business sorted before we go shopping for the big free agents.
Yeah, and that's what you need to do.
Exactly.
You have to take inventory of what you got and what you don't have.
Right, and that's a big part of the NFL is talent assessment. You know, you have to figure out where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are. And I think the Eagles did a good job with these signings in determining who should stay and who should go.
Yeah, so oddly enough, a good off-season Eagles report from us?
A good start. We don't know how yeah. they'll end up. You know, when draft day rolls around, we might, you know, first pick Waterboy from Ambler State
kicker.
University.
kicker.
Although we need a kicker.
We
need
so.
A kicker. Not first round. Not first
yeah,
round.
Yeah, we're not, yeah, yeah, don't waste the first round.
You know, like maybe fifth or sixth round, you know.
But yeah, I guess that is true. We do need a kicker.
Yeah, we do. I mean, poor Alex Henry. He's just, I don't know. I just don't think he's getting it done. But that's a different story for a different time.
Yeah. But as of right now, Eagles, I think, making consistent moves and are going on the right path.
Yeah, I think so, too. Exciting to see where the next year will take us.
Before we leave the football subject,
okay.
Can I bring up one more person that is a big name that we're not mentioning here?
Sure.
Michael Vick.
Oh, Michael Vick.
Eagles pretty much done with him. They're going to clean their hands of him. Did you hear where he's testing the market?
Where now is he officially a free agent? Or
I think he's. Or
are they going to release him?
They're going to release him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Not even to keep him along as a backup.
No, Vic.
What's his cap number at? Do we know? I don't. Know.
I don't know what his cap number is, but
it's probably big.
I've heard that they're not interested in re-signing him.
Okay, so who is interested in signing Michael Vick then?
The two top contenders are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Okay.
And the New York Jets.
Wow.
Could you imagine Michael Vick adding to the quarterback mayhem on the Jets?
Who do they have now? Geno Smith, right?
They still technically have Mark Sanchez. They haven't
still there?
They haven't done anything with him.
Did they
yet.
Sign Tim Tebow 1.2?
Yeah, at one point, yeah, but he's long
okay.
gone.
Yeah, he's long gone. No, I just wanted to know. It's like a carousel.
Yeah.
It's like a constant string of quarterbacks. They got to settle on one eventually. They got to pick
you
one.
You think
a quarterback by committee, right?
Yeah, just apparently.
Throw whoever's
Yeah.
Server is interesting at the time.
Who brought the most Gatorade out for the team? You're playing.
There you go. Send in the water boy.
So,
I don't know if either of those teams will be a good fit for him. I don't know. I'm not feeling either of them.
I think Tampa Bay might actually not. I think that might actually be an all right fit.
You think so?
Yeah.
They have some coaching problems down there, don't they?
A little bit. But, you know, Mike Vick really has one more year in him, and that's it.
Yeah, I so think really, he's just about done.
Yeah, really, he just needs to have that, you know, last season where he does good and, you know, maybe goes like, you know, 9-7 or 8-8. And
yeah.
Goes just off into the sunset.
Get one quick paycheck before it's all over, you know. Although I'd like to see him on a team that performs well, you know, that gets into the playoffs at least.
Yeah,
just
but
so
I'd say
he has one last hurrah.
I'd say the teams that are in that position right now, they don't need a quarterback.
Yeah, teams that are going to the playoffs don't need quarterbacks usually.
Yeah.
If they do, it's very weird.
Yeah, it's usually like an injury or something.
2006 Bears. What?
Well, yeah, what? Rex Grossman. Who
Rex
the hell
Grossman
is that?
Who?
So, yeah, if you, in case you're wondering where Mike Vick is, yeah, he's testing those two.
He's in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, he's testing those two markets. You know, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, it's part of the business, right? They always say that. It's a business.
Yeah.
And it is a business.
It is. Little bit of football news so that Mike is happy.
And it did make me happy. I love talking about football. Football,
yeah,
football. That, everywhere you go, football, right?
Yeah, now he's got a big smile on his face.
Yeah, I know.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football, football, football. Look, what the f***?
So there you go. But let's get into our next topic. Let's leave the football realm and let's go to a sport that actually is playing right now.
Yeah, and it's still relevant to Philly, though. Another team taking care of business, if you will.
In-house.
In-house business.
That is the 76ers. Although their record is one of the worst in the league, they actually had something to celebrate over the weekend. The 76ers officially retired Allen Iverson's number three, his iconic number three jersey. And I'm very happy that the Sixers decided to do it. I mean, he was just a legendary, iconic part of this franchise.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't watch basketball, but when I did, it was because of Allen Iverson. He was exciting. He was fun to watch, and he won us so many games. He brought us to the finals that one year against the Lakers.
That's right,
with Dikembe Mutombo. Right?
Oh yeah,
that was a great year.
No. Allen Iverson, his jersey was retired March 1st, 2014. That is the first 76ers jersey retired since Charles Barkley in 2001.
So, well, yeah. I mean, since Iverson left, we really haven't had much reason to celebrate.
I mean, that just goes to show you how rare this is. You know,
yeah, it is very rare.
Yeah. So Allen Iverson, with this retired number, joins the ranks of Charles Barkley, Julius Erving, Maurice Cheeks, Wilt Chamberlain. I mean, this is pretty iconic stuff.
That is, yeah. That's a great group of people to find yourself with.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad. You know, he was such an integral part of this franchise. Yeah, he deserves it.
Yeah, and I think he's one of the best to play the game. You know, we talked way back when he announced his retirement, I think, about all the stats that he has. And I think we both agreed that he would make it into the Hall of Fame at one point.
Do you want me to try and list everything?
I mean, you can list a few. I mean, I know there's a lot of accolades there.
11-time NBA All-Star, NBA MVP, three times All-NBA first team, four-time NBA scoring champion. He finishes his career with 24,000 points, which is an average of 26.7 points per game.
Wow.
It's just unbelievable. And, you know, and to think he's considered one of the greatest, like, shortest players to ever play the game,
yeah,
too.
What was he, like, 6'1"?
Six
even?
I believe. Let me see if I can find... Yep, six foot even. I was right.
We say that's short, but neither of us are 6 foot.
No. But in
basketball, yeah,
you might as well be, you might as well, you know, be playing on your knees.
Yeah, really. When most players are 6'8", 6'9", you know, somewhere around there.
Centers are 7.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just great to see that Allen Iverson, his number three, officially retired, and I think it's well-deserved, and I'm happy.
I'm happy as well, as is everybody in Philadelphia should be. He was an iconic player, one of the best ever play in the city, one of the best to ever play the sport of basketball. So congratulations to Allen Iverson. And I don't know. Thank you for all the great years.
And you got to admit, there's always one thing you'll remember about Allen Iverson.
Of course. There's always the infamous clip.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. Not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that? Man, look, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. It's strange to me, too. How the hell can I make my teammates better by practice?
So there you go.
Everybody.
One last time for number three.
Yeah. Everybody remembers the practice rant.
Yeah. I still think it's more funny than it is like a knock against his character.
Oh, yeah. No, it's hilarious.
When it first happened, people were saying, Mr. Superstar complaining about practice. I still think it was just more funny for him to just go off on the media like that.
I agree, because the media sometimes, they ask stupid questions. I mean, let's be honest.
They really do. You know, and Allen Iverson just had enough of it.
Yeah, and he just lost and just went on that crazy rant, yeah. Which is amazing. It's gone down in history.
Yeah. But nevertheless, Allen Iverson, though, number three will also go down in history as a retired number by the Philadelphia 76ers. And with that, let's go the opposite way on the honor spectrum. How about that?
That sounds like an interesting idea.
So instead of going out on a high note, we're potentially talking about someone who might be going out on a low note. I found this story in ESPN, the magazine, the other day.
Okay.
His name is Ian Kinsler. And apparently, he was on the Texas Rangers, but recently he got traded to the Detroit Tigers. According to the story, he felt that he was taking on too much of a leadership role with the team after a key player, Michael Young, left the organization. He also didn't like the fact that the organization moved him to first base last year to make room for upcoming prospects. And he also didn't like that he was informed of the trade on a secondhand nature. Apparently, the manager of the team didn't call him up to tell him that he had gotten traded.
Oh.
So between these things, Ian Kinsler apparently felt very disgruntled about the move from his former organization, the Rangers.
Right. I can see a player being upset about that stuff.
When asked by ESPN, the magazine, what he felt about his former team, the Texas Rangers, are you ready for what he said?
Go ahead. I can't wait to hear this.
So this is in ESPN, the magazine. This is a word-for-word quote. Quote, I really hope they go 0-162. I mean, I've got friends, and I love my friends over there, but seriously, I hope they lose their asses.
Wow.
That is burning your bridge, man.
There's wow. No chance of going back there, that's for sure.
Kinsler apparently taking a little bit of heat over the comments. Oh, and he also called, I forgot to mention this part. He also called his former general manager of the Rangers, John Daniels, quote, the biggest sleazeball in baseball.
He's going directly after individuals now. That's not good.
Taking a flamethrower to the bridge.
Yeah, really. Strutting across, burning it down as he's walking over.
So, I'm just going to throw it up to you, Mike. I mean, usually when people leave an organization, they usually kind of, are a little more PC.
Well, they always speak highly of it, too. Oh, I loved my time there. The fans were great. The city was great.
This
going to be sad leaving.
This guy is just completely crapping on his previous team. What do you think?
He just said, screw it. He just doesn't care at all. But you know what? I have to admit, it's a little refreshing to hear that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just know that that player is so pissed. Like when McNabb left the Eagles for the Redskins, you know that he was super pissed. He had to have been.
Oh, yeah.
And, nobody ever says anything about it. But this guy, he just doesn't care. He's just like, oh, screw it. I hate you guys. And that's a little refreshing, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I got to admit, when I saw the headline, Kinsler hopes his former teammates go 0-162. I laughed right at the headline.
It's funny, you know? I don't have a problem with it. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I think all the players feel like that when they get dropped by their former team, whether released or traded or whatever.
So, I mean, I, between all those facts, I'm going to say it's well-deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I would be super pissed. Wouldn't you? I mean, it's just, it's natural, it's human nature.
Now, we don't have any rebuttal argument from the Rangers organization or John Daniels at the moment.
They're not gonna, you know, acknowledge it with a statement. They're just gonna try and let it slide. You know, no big deal.
But I gotta admit, I like this guy. I hope they go home in 162.
Yeah, I'm rooting for him now. I think it's hilarious, and I think it's refreshing to hear a player finally speak their mind instead of giving the politically correct BS that we get all the time at press conferences. Oh, I love you. I love you. No, you don't. You hate everybody.
Yeah.
You know?
You got traded, and you didn't want to get traded.
Now, of course, if this was one of our players saying it, we'd be singing a different tune.
Probably.
If McNabb had turned around and said, oh, Philadelphia's the worst place I ever played. Those fans are a bunch of buttheads. And,
oh, my gosh. If McNabb said that, he would not be in the Eagles Hall of Fame or anything.
Yeah. So I'm glad he didn't do that because I was a McNabb fan back in the early days.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's refreshing to hear other people's players say these things.
Yeah. That's the key
that's
word.
That's the key, yeah.
Other. We don't want this to be Philadelphia teams.
No. All players that ever play here love us, right?
Of course.
Yeah. They love us. We're great.
Terrell Owens.
Oh, what was it?
And stop bringing this about football.
It's always about football.
God damn it. It's always about football with Mike.
What is it with football?
Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football. Like, what the f***?
You know what's funny is, thinking back, I always used to do that in the early weeks of the podcast when we first started. Whenever we would talk about, because we started out of football season, remember? Mm-hmm. So whenever we were talking about another sport, I would always use an example from football because that was the only examples I could come up with. And I'm still doing that.
Well, you got to stick to what your strong points are.
Yeah, and my strong suit is football. It's just the way it is.
Though at the same time, I'm working on you at golf.
Yeah, I'm learning.
All right. Well, don't worry. When the Masters and the majors start, we'll get you reacclimated to the wonderful world of golf.
That sounds good. I'm always up for some golf talk.
All right. Well, speaking of taking a break from subjects that you love to talk about, we're going to have to take a little bit of a ad break ourselves here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But don't go anywhere. We've got a majorly packed entertainment entree coming up. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We're talking Oscars, and we've also got some exciting video game news.
Yeah, so jam-packed entertainment entree coming up. Don't go anywhere. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, and expensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
It's time to get really, really real with the man, the brand, the artist, Philadelphia's own Realism. The first hip-hop artist to release an album exclusively on innovative USB wristbands. The future of music just got real. Visit 4realism.com, that's the number 4, and also look for Realism on Facebook and Twitter. And get really, really real, and then tell them how you feel. Have you ever wanted to read a Hollywood biography that really goes deeper than just the headlines? A best-selling author has done exactly that. Guest of Totally Driven Radio, author Sarab Dutt has written the best-selling biographies on Oscar-nominated actor Mickey Rourke, teen heartthrob and star of The Lost Boys, Corey Haim, and has been commissioned to write the biography on Batman Forever star Val Kilmer.
check out these books, as well as his novel, The Pugilist's Son, whose proceeds are going to the Muhammad Ali Center. You can find these fine books on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, and of course, on iTunes.
Here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, we're well rested after that ad break, and we're ready to go with our next part of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. I think it's our most entertaining segment of the show, if you will.
I hope so.
Given the name of it at all, which
that's right. Let's launch into it. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Basically, I'm here to announce that we're building Iron Man. I'm going to blast off in a second. This has been a secret project we've been working on for a long time. Not really. Maybe. It's classified.
Not really. Maybe. It's classified. That was great.
All right. So I want to bring up two things about that, our intro to the entertainment entree. Number one, that is an actual press conference from President Obama.
Oh,
that is not made up.
That is great. You gotta love it.
And number two, President Obama just totally bummed a line from Top Gun. It's classified.
The man knows his movies, I guess.
Yeah.
That's why the U.S. voted him president. They said he knows movies, make him president.
That's why the entertainment entree is so important.
That's right.
Where did you see this?
That's classified.
Yep.
Is that the line from Top Gun?
Yeah, I told you. I'm not making this up here.
Where did you see this?
That's classified.
It's what?
It's classified. I could tell you, but then I'd have to kill you.
So, yeah. Obama is borrowing off of Maverick and Top Gun. I'm not making this up here.
A fan of Iron Man and Top Gun. Amazing.
A man after my own heart, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah! Is Obama going into the danger zone?
I don't know.
With Iron Man?
Maybe, that's the perfect person to go into the danger zone with, I think.
So, there you go. Obama said it in an actual press conference. Had to bring that one up. All right, but now let's get into the actual meat of the entertainment entree. Folks, we've got to cover it. It's time for our 2014 Oscars recap. And there we go. We've got some music for it, too.
Gotta love the show business music, huh?
Yeah. So Sunday was the illustrious night. The Oscars officially wrapped up. I'd say a little bit longer than normal. It went from like 8 to midnight, I think.
Gosh, it was excruciating. It was the longest award show ever. And of course, they have to have the red carpet stuff for like 5 hours before that. Not that I watched that, because that's just all boring. You know, just, it's awful. But anyway.
But anyway, the 86th the 86th Annual Academy Awards took place on Sunday. And I think it's time to go over the illustrious winners.
I think so.
So let's do that right now. Let's knock out some of the major ones here. Let's go with the supporting actor and actress categories. For best supporting actor, no surprise here, Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. That was kind of a given.
Yeah.
With the recent awards track record heading up to this.
Definitely. He was the heavy, heavy favorite to win this award. I still personally, I would have liked to see Barkhad Abdi win just because he was a limo driver beforehand. But I think Jared Leto deserved it for playing off, for having to do such a difficult role. I mean, I didn't actually see the movie, but from what I understand, it was just spectacular.
Yeah. Then for Best Supporting Actress, Lupita Nyong'o wins for 12 Years a Slave, knocking out some pretty heavy hitters in Sally Hawkins, Jennifer Lawrence, Julia Roberts, and June Squibb.
Yeah, a packed category, and I think we both agreed that Lupita Nyong'o should win. 12 Years a Slave is just getting incredible press before, during, and after now award season. So I think it's a well-deserved award, and I think that was her... her first award and also her screen debut, I think, was 12
Years
a Slave.
So.
So there you go. Brand new person that we should keep an eye on in future films.
Then moving on to Best Actress. That was no surprise there. Cate Blanchett pulls it off for Blue Jasmine. Again, not really a surprise there. She beat out Amy Adams, Sandra Bullock, Judi Dench, and Meryl Streep. So she also had
quite
a cast.
You didn't think that was a surprise?
No, I mean,
for Sandra Bullock in Gravity.
No, I don't. Not when you look at the previous award track record. I mean, usually it's pretty consistent when you see the awards rack up between the Screen Actors Guild, Golden Globes.
Golden Globes, yeah.
When you get momentum, it usually
is not a
surprise.
Here's a question: do you think she should have gotten it? Because, I mean, I haven't seen Blue Jasmine, but seeing Gravity, I thought Sandra Bullock was just amazing.
I mean, I understand the argument for Sandra Bullock, but I'm not disappointed or anything. I think it's a fair award.
Have you seen Blue Jasmine? Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I'd say it's fair.
Yeah? Okay. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there was definitely, you know, a lot of people thought Sandra Bullock could have won.
I think she could have. I didn't see Blue Jasmine, so I don't know. But Cate Blanchett takes away the Best Actress in a Leading Role award.
Yep, and then moving on to Best Actor, we're having what is dubbed the Matthew McConaissance is what is being said online. The McConaissance,
okay,
between Matthew McConaughey getting critical praise for his role in True Detective. And now pulling off a Best Acting win for Dallas Buyers Club is Ron Woodruff pulling off the Oscar for Best Actor. I mean, he's really having a good year.
Yeah, I think so as well. Again, I think he was the favorite to win that one. A lot of people are upset that Leonardo DiCaprio didn't win. I didn't see Wolf of Wall Street, so I can't really comment on that. But
I think it's more upset that Leo has never won before.
I think that's what it is.
That's
too.
Really what it is for Leo, is that he's been nominated so many times and
he's been in a lot of good movies.
He ironically is, I think, this generation's Martin Scorsese.
I think so. I think eventually,
just acting wise.
Yeah, I think eventually he'll get one. Maybe next year if he's in anything.
It's a numbers
good.
Game.
It is. Isn't that what happened with Scorsese?
Yeah, he finally wins on The Departed.
Which, I mean, out of all his movies, I mean,
it's good.
It was good, but he should have
really
won for
not
Goodfellas.
Goodfellas? Yeah.
So I think it'll be the same thing for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Eventually,
next year or the year after, and people will say, "Okay, it was his time. They picked the name out of a hat."
Yeah. But for right now, the McConaissance is in full effect. I love saying that.
The McConaissance.
I think that's so cool.
People on the internet, they want to give a name to everything, don't they?
Yeah. Matthew McConaughey pulls it out for Dallas Buyers Club for Best Actor. Then we're going to get to Best Director, and this, I think, out of all the major awards, finally one had to go to Gravity. Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity.
Yeah, I mean, Gravity was a great movie, and I think it's a testament to his directing ability to, I mean, you have one character essentially in front of a green screen for the entire two and a half hours?
Yeah.
I mean, you really have to know your stuff filmmaking-wise in order to get the appropriate reactions and acting out of that particular actress. That's incredible.
And Gravity won a lot of those, like, sound...
Both sound editing?
Sound editing, yeah. They won a lot of those...
Film editing, yeah.
Yeah, minor awards.
I wouldn't say minor.
But they're at the beginning. They're not considered, like, the heavyweight ones.
Best original score. I'm just looking over this. So yeah. a lot of those smaller awards, if you will.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That like minor category. But it's still an Oscar. An Oscar is an Oscar.
And best visual effects as well.
Gravity, actually, if you put all of them together, Gravity won the most awards, 7 Grammys.
Grammys.
Sound, I went in there in my head. 7 right. Oscars, sorry.
Right. Yeah. And cinematography too. Yeah, they took away a lot of the technical awards.
Right. So just a testament to how proficient that movie is on a film making scale.
It is a very well constructed film in terms of editing and everything, and I thought they did a really good job.
Yeah. But then last but certainly not least,
it's the big one.
Yeah, you got to do the big one for Best Picture. And this was kind of a no-brainer.
I think so.
You knew that this was going to win. 12 Years a Slave beats out the following American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
That is a stacked. I mean, this is almost like, remember that one year where it was like Inception and Dark Knight and District 9, all those great movies in one year. It's almost like
that. That was 2010.
Was that 2010?
Yeah.
I remember there was one year, there 2009 or 2010, where it was like 7 or 8 movies where it was like really tough to decide personally for me. And this was another year. Just all these films got such great praise. I mean, really, really strong category this year.
Yep. 12 Years a Slave pulls it out. They might not have won all the awards. They might not go home with the most gold statuettes. But in the end, they pull off the major one. 12 Years a Slave, your 2013 Best Picture.
Well, there you go. They also won a couple of smaller awards too, but winning Best Picture, that's the big one. Yeah. I mean, come on. You're the best picture of the year.
That's a testament to everybody in the movie. Everybody involved in the movie.
I mean, winning Best Picture is like saying, okay, like everybody that didn't win awards, they were like, you know, second place or something. They're the second best actor of the year.
In my mind, that's the first loser. Go home.
The first loser. That's not nice.
No.
But no, it is. It's a testament to every part of the film rather than just honoring those individual players. And we have some interesting tidbits about 12 Years a Slave. Did you know that director Steve McQueen becomes the first African American director to win an Academy Award for Best Picture?
That's good.
Yeah, a little bit of a historical note to the evening as well. I mean, 86 years for that to happen. I mean, it's kind of, you thought there would have been one other one in there somewhere.
Yeah.
But I guess not.
But, hey, you know what? It's about time.
It is about time, right? It's only 2014. But just a little historical note there. Another interesting tidbit about 12 Years a Slave. The New York Times had to issue a correction to an article it ran about the original memoir, Solomon Northrup's memoir, 12 Years a Slave. The funny thing is, though, that this correction is 161 years late. So it was recently brought to their attention that an article they ran in January of 1853 misspelled Solomon Northrup's name.
Well, I guess better late than never.
Better late than never. Just 161 years late, though?
Yeah, a little too late.
A little too late. Oh, wow. It's amazing that... I mean, it's good that they eventually got around to it, right?
Yeah.
So, there you go. Just some interesting tidbits surrounding the Best Picture winner, 12 Years a Slave.
And... If you want to go into some more awards here, we can do some Honorary Academy Awards. And a big one for a honorary award went to Steve Martin. You know, just all of his work, you know, his filmography, his stand-up comedic act.
Yeah, I mean,
he's one of the best actors.
Yeah, he's all over the place. I mean, he put in a lot of years. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I love his tweet. Because the Academy Honorary Awards is actually awarded the night before at the Governor's Awards.
Right,
it's not
right.
actually a part of the main Oscar ceremony.
Right.
So when the actual Oscars was live, he made it back home and he tweeted, "I'm glad that I was able to win an Oscar from home." So I thought that was pretty funny.
That's a good one.
And the Jean Hirschfeld Humanitarian Award went to Angelina Jolie for all of her work in her charities.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's always in the news doing great work in a bunch of different countries and helping a lot of people. So I'm glad that she got that award to be recognized for all of her hard work.
And when all is said and done, the top five films with multiple awards... we've got a tie for third place between Frozen and The Great Gatsby, pulling two Oscars. Yeah, how do you like that?
I mean, I've heard some mixed reviews about The Great Gatsby, so that's kind of strange, but whatever.
Great Gatsby won for Best Production Design and Best Costume Design.
I can see Production Design.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, I think so.
Any Laz Berman film needs to have every detail down to nook and cranny.
Yeah.
For him to shoot it. Then we have a tie for second place. Before the two films, they were tied for fourth because it would be fourth and fifth. I can't do ranking orders.
I don't understand what's happening.
Yeah, sorry. Frozen and The Great Gatsby tied for fourth place with two awards. Then Dallas Buyers Club and 12 Years a Slave tied for second place. Both of them won three awards.
Wow. Big winner.
Yeah, big winner, 12 Years a Slave, best picture, so that's more important. And then, like we said before, the film that took home the most, Gravity, 7 Oscars.
Wow.
Went home with.
Great testament to science fiction films, too, because they usually don't win a lot at the Oscars. The Academy usually snubs fantasy and sci-fi genres. I don't know why. They're two of my favorite, but
yeah,
it's just the way it is. Although, I don't know if you can really classify it as sci-fi, though.
So with that, do you have any notable, snubs, things you loved, things you hated? What do you think?
Well, I just want to point out that Frozen won Best Animated Feature Film. I just can't get over.
You love your animated films.
I like animated films. I haven't actually seen. I saw one of them this year, Despicable Me 2. But from what I've heard, Frozen is just incredible, and I can't wait to see that. The internet is abuzz with how great it is, and it also won, I think, Best Original Song. what's his name? John Travolta butchered. Yeah, John Travolta butchered the singer's name, Idina Menzel. He said Adela something. Did you catch that? Did you see that part?
I had no idea what he was saying. I thought he was drunk.
Probably was, let's be honest. But again, Frozen, that's one of the ones that I really want to see along with 12 Years a Slave. I missed out on a lot of films this year, I got to say.
Another interesting fun fact with Frozen. Robert Lopez, who was the songwriter behind Frozen, a couple of the songs in Frozen.
Yeah.
He took home a Oscar for Best Original Song.
Right.
With that, he becomes one of the 12 people to pull off the EGOT, winning an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony Award.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very rare.
That is very rare.
You really don't see that.
Yeah, because you have to be in so many different...
media.
Yeah, media.
You have to be on stage. You have to be on
music,
audio.
Yeah, music movie. And movies and stage.
Yeah, so that's very tough to pull off. And we saw one completed. It's like going for the cycle. Grand Slam champion here. Robert Lopez behind Frozen. The song Let It Go won for Best Original Song. And that's what led him to complete the EGOT. So that was cool as far as I'm concerned. My biggest disappointment... is no love for American Hustle. I'm gonna I feel like I'm almost counterculture on this.
Really?
Because there's been a lot of backlash on like internet forums that American Hustle was overrated. I thought it was a great movie.
Well, I didn't actually see it, so I don't know. But I mean, leading up to its release, everyone was talking very, very highly of it.
Yeah.
And then as it got closer to award season, I think we started to hear that dissent about how they thought it was overrated. I also heard some people saying Gravity was overrated as well. So I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you were upset that American Hustle didn't get anything.
Yeah. Didn't win anything. It was nominated for 10 awards.
Yeah. Was that the most, I think?
Yeah. Tied with Gravity.
Wow.
10 nominations. Didn't take away a single, Oscar home. I'm a little disappointed. I thought it should have taken at least something.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, six of those awards were in categories that were just absolutely stacked. I mean, the acting categories, best director, and best picture. I mean, we both thought that the American Hustle actors and actresses didn't stand a chance against the competition. So, just in that
something
regard.
Something in any of the design, one of those minor Oscars? No, no love for American Hustle. I'm sorry, I'm a little disappointed.
I can see that.
Maybe it's a Jersey thing.
A Jersey thing.
Yeah, half of the movie takes place in Jersey.
I guess so. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't know. I wasn't shocked or anything, but I would have liked to see Barkhead Abdi win Best Supporting Role. And I was kind of upset that Tom Hanks didn't get a nod for Best Leading Actor. I mean, yeah. I know that that's old news, but I just... Every time I think about the role he played in Captain Phillips, I think, God, I don't know why he wasn't nominated.
Yeah, a lot of people did find that a little surprising that he didn't get nominated.
I think he was fantastic. But, you know, again, a stacked category right there.
Yeah.
So do you have any other shocking news or any interesting tidbits that you want to point out?
I need to see this movie, Nebraska.
Yeah.
You know, they're playing the clips like they always do, you know, right. The teasers leading up to Best Picture and everything.
Oh, gosh, the one about, the Best Supporting Actress, I think?
June Squibb?
Yeah.
She's like flashing her privates in front of a tombstone. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
That was hilarious.
I don't know what the hell this movie's about.
I want to see that
but
movie.
Yeah, now I need to see this.
Yeah, just for that one scene. I thought that was hilarious. I want to see that, and I want to see Dallas Buyers Club. I want to see what all the hype is about with the supporting actor
gonna be disappointed.
I know everybody. I hear that it's phenomenal.
Yep, come on, Mike, join the reconnaissance. Come on,
believe me, I want to join. I want to see these movies.
Well, there you go. That is our official Oscar wrap up of the awards. But you know what? There's kind of other things that happen at the Oscars besides giving out awards. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. And one of the craziest things, in my opinion, happened with host Ellen DeGeneres, who I thought did a phenomenal job hosting. I thought she was very funny. What about you?
Oh, I thought she did what she had to do. You know, I mean, there were some parts that were kind of a little bit of a lull, but I don't think it was her fault.
Well, that's all award shows.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think she did a good job.
I thought she was funny, and she was modern too with the whole taking the selfie picture.
The most retweeted
retweets,
picture.
Yeah. That was really
we crashed Twitter.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But the standout moment for me though is she had joked about everybody being hungry there, and she said, "Oh, you know, we should order pizzas." Well, then all of a sudden, as we all saw, she brings out. Pizza, three pizzas. I couldn't spring for more pizza.
Yeah,
just
come on.
Three. I mean, you got like a couple hundred people there.
Harrison Ford's gonna eat a half a pie to himself.
Oh yeah, I mean, easily, man. I was amazed. Some of those actors and actresses were scarfing it down, man. But anyway, so she, you know, made good on her suggestion and she ordered pizza, and it wasn't the interesting thing. And they revealed this later is that it wasn't scripted. It was just a regular, normal pizza delivery guy.
I think it kind of had to be, though.
You think it had to be?
I think it would be disappointed, like, if the guy was in on it.
Yeah, exactly. And it just added to the charm of the moment. But Ellen DeGeneres had the pizza delivery man on her show.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the day after. So, I mean, this guy has got to be just completely in shock and awe over all the attention he's getting. And I have a short clip from the interview with the man, if I can find his name. They don't have his name here, but there's a short clip from the Ellen DeGeneres Show that I think would be interesting to play.
All right, then let's play the clip. This is the pizza delivery man from the Oscars on Ellen's show the next day.
All right, and so we had you deliver, and you thought you were going to bring them to some producers. What did they tell you?
Yeah, they told me I'm going to just deliver for writers. Mm-hmm. And then when I was there, they just told me just wait here, and you came out then.
Yeah.
You came out, and you said just follow me. I'm going to let you know when to follow me. And then, like, where we are going? And you said just follow me, and I'm going, and I'm on a stage. I was just shocked, so...
We had you behind a door, and then you just got out and said, you go, hello, here's... I mean, that must have, like, freaked you out, right?
Yeah, I was shocked. I didn't know it's going to be something this, but yeah. It was really crazy.
And who was your... I think Julia Roberts is, like, one of your favorite...
Yeah, it was... She was my, like, woman in dreams, so I was always watching her movies back in Moscow, The Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
And it was something crazy to me to just deliver.
You're handing her, yeah. Julia Roberts pizza. That's surreal,
yeah.
Right? And so you left before I gave you, I wanted to get a tip, and I passed Perel's hat around, and I ended up getting about $600, something like that.
That's an awesome tip. $600.
Wow. And she ends up rounding the total up to $1,000.
There you go.
$1,000 for three pizzas.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good night, I think. I'm sure he delivered other pizzas that night, so it was like $1,025.
No, he called it a night.
He called it a night after that. After having to walk out on the main stage at the Oscars, because that can be kind of a nerve-wracking experience.
Yeah. That's got to be suck for the next person's delivery that he has to go to.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Bob down the street. You know?
Bob down the street.
He answers the door in his underwear.
Yeah. One order of wings. Yeah. He just delivered three pizzas to the freaking Oscars.
Yeah.
You know?
And now he has to deal with somebody who can barely put on his underpants.
Oh, boy.
Here's your tip. Stay in school. Thanks, Bob. You're no Oscars, I can tell.
Oh, wow. So the pizza guy was from Big Mama's and Papa's Pizza. And the delivery man was, his name is Edgar Martisoyan. Oh, man, it's Woo. Russian. Yeah. Edgar Martisoyan. I think that's it. Martirosian. Something like that. The point is, his name is Edgar. Sorry. So that must have been an incredible experience right there, being able to deliver pizza, as he said, to Julia Roberts, who is the woman of his dreams.
Woman of dream.
Woman of dream.
Excuse me, Julia, you are woman of my dreams.
It almost sounded like you said woman of jeans.
Well, yes, you also wear jeans in my dreams.
The woman in my jeans.
I am the woman in your jeans. Come with me on my magical dream jeans.
Dream jeans? Put on my dream jeans.
We'll go to Magic Place behind my pizza shop.
Don't mind the rodent. Fix up. Focus on my rodent. All right. I see I'm turning a heartwarming moment into a horrible back alley sex romp.
This is so bad.
I guess congratulations to Edgar for, putting
delivering
on a
pizza.
Yeah, delivering pizza and putting on a good show. You know, he's a good sport.
You know what really sucks?
What?
There's probably some guy who was like, oh, I'll take that order. And what's his name again?
Edgar.
And Edgar was like, no, you go home early. I'll take this delivery.
No, you take break. I take this one.
Yeah. There was probably some guy that was, you know, that was like, oh, thanks, man. You're taking my extra delivery shit.
Or the opposite. Some guy was like, oh, I don't want to do that when you do this one.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's watching the Oscars. Huh, that Joker Edgar's out delivering pizzas. I'm watching the Oscars. Oh my God, is that Edgar? And of course he sounds like that because I don't know why.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It sounds like a weird surfer.
Like a typical bag. Like a stereotypical stoner surfer. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's Edgar. Whoa. It's Edgar.
Coming soon.
It's the story of one man's journey to deliver pizza. Whoa, it's Edgar! Oh, man! Oh, wow.
So random pizza guy at the Oscars.
There you go. Always a good time.
All right, but I think that's enough Oscars for one year.
Funny, I like that.
But nevertheless, good time by all. And if you haven't seen any of those movies that we mentioned for Best Picture, definitely go see them. They're all worthy.
But moving right along, it's time to move on to another one of our favorite forms of entertainment. That would be video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.
Oh, so there you go. Commander Shepard loves us.
He's officially endorsing our show, and specifically this segment of video game news. First up, we have actually a news update. We very rarely get news updates with video game stories because, you know, it's very in the here and now. But we figured you'd want to be updated on this one. We talked about Twitch Plays Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's, if you don't know, the video game streaming site Twitch implemented this feature where people could input directions into the chat log and control a character in the game. So Twitch decided to play Pokemon, and I think it was thousands of people working together, putting in different button pushes to control the character and have him try and play the game without just spinning around in circles for hours on end.
Which that definitely did happen.
Which, yes, that happened a lot. However, we have some... very nice.
That's what happens when you walk around in circles, apparently.
We have some exciting news, though. After 16 days, 7 hours, 50 minutes, and 19 seconds of straight playing, Twitch finally beat Pokemon Red.
Mamma mia! Yeah.
What does this guy think? He's an Indian?
Like, such as?
She's a human!
Woo! We did it! Internet!
Yeah, go internet!
Woo! All you people, you did it.
Congratulations.
I didn't even know you could... I didn't know there was like a finality to the end of Pokemon. I thought you just kept playing.
Just kept going and going to catch them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, apparently there is an end, and Twitch actually got there.
Woo!
I haven't even beaten the game by myself. This is hundreds of thousands of people working together, putting in opposite directions. One person says left, the other person says right, and the character just spins around and around. But they did it after 16 days of straight playing. Can you imagine?
I feel like this should be something the world should embrace. The internet worked together to beat a game. Why can't we achieve world peace?
Well, it's funny you mention that because after they beat it, a petition went up on whitehouse.gov to make March 1st, the day that the internet defeated Pokemon Red. They made a petition to name that day National Helix Day, named after one of the items they found in the game. This little character, I guess, named Helix. Of course, the U.S. is not going to make National Helix Day because...
Obama.
Thanks, Obama. God. You gave us Iron Man, but you can't give us National Helix Day.
Yeah, come on.
What does this country come to?
Step up your game.
Yeah, literally.
Hey, same page.
Oh my gosh. See ya.
You're on your own. And Mr. Microphone. So there you go.
That's how Twitch was while they were playing, though. In order to overcome all the obstacles, they had to be on the same page, and eventually they defeated Pokemon Red.
See ya!
You're on your own!
Twitch issued some really interesting numbers, though, about the whole event. The number of people that logged in or checked it out was 1.1 million people. There were 122 million commands issued in the chat menu.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and the peak number of people watching at any one moment reached 121,000 at one point. Total views all together is 36 million, and minutes watched over 1 billion.
Wow.
So this is not a little fad. This is a major thing. And some people are wondering, is this a new trend in video games? Is this a new subgenre or a new way of interacting with games that maybe we hadn't thought of before?
Well, here's the key thing that might actually create a future for this kind of experiment. The PlayStation 4 apparently has the power to stream Twitch, I believe, right?
Yes, it does. As does the Xbox One, I think.
So if you can stream it on there, what prevents you from just creating another chat room program like this and having it work on your PlayStation or your Xbox?
Well, interesting you bring that up. PlayStation 4 recently released a game called Dead Nation. It's a top-down zombie shooter. And following this Twitch Plays Pokemon hype, PlayStation said, you know what? This feature is actually available on the PlayStation. So for this game, Dead Nation, people can chat in and provide assistance or obstacles for the player. So if people, I guess it's a voting mechanic, they can vote to create a new zombie horde for the player to fight or to provide health drops or weapon pickups for the player. So already you're seeing the consoles can include this type of immediate feedback, I guess you would call it, from the chat log. I think that that's a really cool twist and one that could add just another element to modern gaming.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to see if we can pull this off now with other games.
Well, Twitch Plays Pokemon is already on the next Pokemon game. They're playing, I think it's Pokemon Silver now from 2001.
Wow, I didn't even get that far.
No, I stopped playing Pokemon after Pokemon Red. And of course, there are a whole bunch of spin-off channels, people playing different games and trying out, you know, just how far they can take this. Do you think you would ever try and play something like this, Rich? Do you think you could comment in, or I mean, do you think this would be something fun to get into?
Maybe if I'm bored and I don't feel like going to bed yet at the end of the night,
just log in for like 10 minutes and randomly mash the right arrow key like hundreds of times.
yeah,
but that's a good evening right there. But right, left, right, up, down, right.
Start. I love that. There'd be portions in the Pokemon live stream where somebody would hit the start button. The random menu would pop up.
Oh, boy. It's amazing, though, the way that the internet has embraced this social experiment. I mean, tons of memes have been created off of this. Have you heard of the Bird Jesus meme?
No, what is it?
No, Bird Jesus? Well, apparently the players of Pokemon, they captured one of the bird Pokemon, and they used it to play nearly the whole game, and they dubbed him Bird Jesus because I guess he was their savior. I didn't really watch that much. Every time I tuned in, they were just walking around in a circle. But tons of memes have been generated. As I said, there was a petition on WhiteHouse.gov about making March 1st National Helix Day. Apparently, there's a whole meta story to the game where people are creating religions based on encounters. Yeah. I read a thing about it, about people writing this meta history about the game. I mean, the way that the internet has embraced it is just incredible. There's Reddit communities about it, and people would take to other multimedia, social media outlets to coordinate efforts, get together and figure out when and how to, you know, do certain, events or maneuvers or whatever. I mean, just the extent of this is just incredible.
That's nuts.
So I think definitely a new craze sweeping the video game world right now.
Yeah, I think it has room to grow, but we'll see, you know, what the next step is.
Yeah, we'll see if it keeps up this level of popularity, if they can continue to grow or whether it'll just fade out like other internet fads.
Yeah. So, props to the internet. It actually did something.
Good job, internet. And if you guys want to check out the new stream, you can always look for Twitch Plays Pokemon. Just search for it. I'm sure you can find it. No problem.
All right, but with that, we've got one more piece of video game news we've got to get to, and this is pretty big.
Yeah, this especially for us because we're big fans of this series. Rocksteady announced that they are going to release this year a brand new Batman Arkham game titled Batman Arkham Knight.
It's going to be like this, right, Adam West?
I think so. Yeah, that was the major announcement, is that Adam West is going to be voicing the character, and one major boss.
Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West.
Yeah.
Yeah, they announced that one boss fight is just the bat dance.
That would be awesome.
It's a button pressing sequence.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, Rocksteady and Warner Brothers Interactive have announced Batman Arkham Knight. They are calling it, or some have referred to it as, the conclusion of the Arkham series. It's not officially confirmed yet, but a lot of people are suggesting it, so it looks like it could be, which I wouldn't mind. A definite conclusion to the series.
Yeah, I mean, it might be running its course at this point.
Yeah, it's already three games in. You always run the risk of getting stale in video games.
Yeah.
Crowds are very picky.
It almost kind of seems like it's a yearly thing at this point. I mean, we were kind of surprised last year when they wanted to do Batman Arkham Origins. It was like, really?
Yeah.
Wow, you
yeah,
don't want to take
already.
A break from
yeah.
Arkham City?
Arkham City, yeah.
It might seem like it's getting a little too... regular.
Well, if there is one positive to take away from this, is that Arkham Knight will be developed by the original developer, Rocksteady, who, it seems, have been hard at work on this since 2011 when they released Arkham City. So it seems like they've put a lot of work and effort into this. And I don't know if there's an exact release date. Some people are floating October as a possible release. But I'm glad that the original developers are behind this one.
I'm Batman.
I'm sure that's something you get to say.
That's right. Rocksteady says, I'm Batman.
Yep. That's their official statement.
I'm Batman.
Like, back off, other developers. I'm Batman.
We got this.
We're Batman.
I'm Batman.
Some interesting tidbits. The city that you get to play in is much larger than the previous cities, because they need to make room for a drivable Batmobile.
That's going to be crazy.
Yeah, a first in the series. Are you excited, Rich? I know you're a huge Batman fan. Are you excited to get behind the wheel?
That's going to be awesome to play with the Batmobile.
That's going to be so exciting. I wonder if you'll be able to fly, too, if it'll like turn into like a jet thing. Or is that a completely separate thing, the bat jet or whatever, bat plane?
It's all bat related.
It's all bat related. It can be a submarine. It can be a plane.
Bat. Vehicle.
Bat vehicle.
Just in general, bat vehicle.
The bat vehicle.
It can do whatever it needs to be.
So I wonder how big this environment will be that you'll be able to drive the Batmobile. I mean, I just, do you think it could be all of Gotham? Wouldn't that be insane?
It's got to be a bigger scale, to include I imagine it's going to be some racing scenes, something like that.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
So you think
tough
maybe
it out scenes, where you're going to use the weapons of the Batmobile.
Yeah, so maybe a more action-oriented focus this time around. I mean, if you watch the debut trailer, it's just insane.
Nuts.
The amount
of action.
It almost
seems like a movie on its own.
Yeah, I showed it to my brother, and he said, oh, is this a new movie? I said, no, this is a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how some parts of the trailer look.
Well, that's the power of next-gen consoles.
Yeah.
And that's something to note. This is only coming out for next-gen consoles, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Yeah. Wii U, though, is unfortunately missing out on this. So, sorry. So get a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One if you want to get a Batman Arkham Knight. Some villains were announced as well. Harley Quinn, Penguin, Two-Face, and the return of Scarecrow, who's always been one of my favorites.
Yeah, Scarecrow is always an interesting villain.
Yeah, from the very first Batman game, I think he was one of the coolest villains in that game. And he hasn't been in any since, has he?
I don't think so.
Not to my knowledge.
Yeah, he wasn't in Arkham City.
Yeah, so they're bringing him back. I think personally he might have a bigger role this time, because there were allusions to him in Arkham City, but he never made an appearance.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. But very exciting news. New Batman game to look out for come this fall on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. Batman Arkham Knight. Yeah, for Christmas, right. though.
Yeah, for Christmas.
Right around Christmas. There you go. Hint, hint, everybody.
So, yeah, looking forward to Batman Arkham Knight. Oh, man, that was a jam-packed entertainment entree, man.
Woo. Oh, yeah, I think we need a little break.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. But you folks at home, don't go anywhere, because we've got our wackiest portion of the show coming up. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It's the non-fortune cookie odd news, my favorite segment, as always.
That's right. So don't go anywhere. The non-fortune cookie odd news coming right up. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
It's time to feel the chill in the air, not just outside, but inside as well at the Springfield Ice Skating Rink. We offer lessons, ice rentals, parties, and we are also available for fundraisers. We're also open for public skating every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sundays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's the Springfield Ice Skating Rink, 400 West Sproul Road in Springfield, PA in Delaware County. Go to SpringfieldIceRink.com for more details.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads. The great bead store with the weird name. Selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at TrashCity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom. We are online only. Visit us at TrashCity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Are you looking for a unique gift for any occasion? Check out Crystal Rocks Jewelry and More. At Crystal Rocks, that's Crystal with a K and R-O-X, you'll find we have jewelry for everyone and every occasion. We also have wine charms, bottle toppers, bookmarkers, zipper pulls, and more. One of our specialties is our beautiful Swarovski Crystal Awareness and Sports Jewelry. We have created a line of earrings, bracelets, and keychains for any awareness cause and any major league or college team, such as the Eagles, Flyers, Phillies, and Penn State. Want something customized? Crystal Rocks can do that too. So come check us out at www.crystalrocks.com. That's Crystal with a K and R-O-X. To see more updated items, look us up on Facebook at www.facebook.com/crystalrocksjewelry. That's K-R-Y-S-T-A-L. R-O-X-J-W-L-R-Y.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. And it's time for, I believe, what is one of your favorite portions of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
Oh, most definitely. It's the wackiest, it's the wildest, it's the craziest.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
And just like we always do, Gary Busey introduces our odd news segment, because who better to introduce your weekly dose of random, strange, crazy, insane news?
I can't think of a better person. He embodies the very essence of odd, I think, in my opinion.
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt.
Well, there you go. That says it all. That says it all right there.
Yeah.
You don't get stranger than that.
Meatloaf dancing on rainbow.
That's right. It is time for the non-fortune cookie odd news. You're just going to keep laughing, aren't you?
Yeah. I love Gary Busey, man.
He is amazing. But we use him to kick off our non-fortune cookie odd news. That's a segment where Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. All my reactions are my gut reactions. This is the first time I'm hearing any of these stories. Rich keeps them hidden from me, secret, tucked away in his manila folder.
Yep. So and, Mike can't see them.
That's right. And he springs them on me, and sometimes I'm shocked, sometimes I'm outraged. A lot of the times I'm just left speechless and baffled. So why don't we kick it off with the first story?
All right, let's roll right into this. Let's do this one as our first story. Workers at a Mississippi funeral home said that they found a man alive and kicking when they opened a body bag.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Somebody didn't do their job.
Nope. Holmes County Coroner Dexter Howard calls it a miracle that 78-year-old Walter Williams is still alive. The coroner was called to Williams' home in Lexington, where family members believed he had died, because Howard says that Williams had no pulse and was pronounced dead on the scene. Early Thursday, workers at Porter and Son's funeral home were preparing to embalm him.
Oh my gosh.
When he started to kick in the body bag.
Man, he came back to life at just the right time, because I think the embalming process kills you, doesn't it?
It should.
I mean, if you aren't dead, it will.
Yeah.
No, don't they like solidify your veins or some crazy...
Yeah, you should
like
be
that?
Dead.
Yeah.
Family members were called, and Williams was immediately taken to a hospital. Doctors have theorized that perhaps Williams' pacemaker stopped working and then started again, and that is why he had no pulse, but then all of his bodily functions kicked up again when he was at the funeral home.
He's really just a very deep sleeper. That's what it is.
He took too much NyQuil.
Yeah, exactly. He was watching the Oscars, and when it got into the seventh hour, he couldn't take it anymore. He fell asleep. Oh, that's amazing. I'm glad that he woke up, though. That must be terrifying, though. Waking up, and you're like, I'm in some sort of bag. It's just the perfect size for a body. And, of course, the people in the funeral home, they're probably freaking out. They're going, zombie. You know, they just got finished watching The Walking Dead. They're going, oh, my God, he's turning.
Yeah.
You know, get out the hatchet.
They just played The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's starting. So, but it's weird, too, because, you know, sometimes we get these stories and it's usually like in like third world countries where they don't have any like regulations on like burial.
Exactly.
This is in Mississippi.
Well, Mississippi.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mississippi.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Not the people in Mississippi.
Yeah.
They'll bury you if you're still alive.
Don't be unconscious without a pulse in Mississippi.
Don't take a nap. They'll take you to the funeral home.
Yeah. All right. You ready for our next story here?
Of course.
Well, before I start reading this story, I think this sound effect is appropriate.
Hey, listen.
Well, for those that don't recognize the sound effect, that is from Legend of Zelda. And this is appropriate because Eugene Thompson says that he was forced to wield his, quote, Legend of Zelda replica sword in a duel against his girlfriend's estranged husband. He was with his girlfriend at his house.
Why? Okay. The first thing you grab is your Legend of Zelda replica sword.
Yeah. All right. He was with his girlfriend at his house in Houston Saturday night when the two got into an argument. Thompson's girlfriend called her estranged husband to come over. Police say the man showed up at 10 p.m. and the two got into a fight. He says he then told the man to leave, but his girlfriend let the man back inside the house. I heard him heading to the bedroom where I was, so I jumped in the closet and grabbed one of my replica swords, and I pulled it out and I stood at the doorway as he was coming down the hallway at me, and I yelled, "Go away, you don't live here." Thompson then said, quote, "I guess he just walked right into the point of the sword."
Wow, okay. Yeah, I guess he walked into the bullet after I shot it. It was really weird. You know, I had this flamethrower, and I think he just walked into the flames. Does that defense hold up in court? He walked into the sword?
Yeah, we're going to have to find out if that does.
He walked into the sword, and then he, like, spun in a circle, which made it seem like I twisted it, but I didn't. I was holding it still.
Are we going into the courtroom for this?
We are. Order in the court. Order in the court. We have the defendant. Eugene Thompson is the defendant.
Yeah, I'm the lawyer.
Okay, you're the lawyer.
And, you know, the guy just walked right into the point of the sword. You know how it happens. Like, there's a banana peel and he slipped right in front of it. You know, it's not my fault. It's not my defendant's fault.
We find him not guilty.
Take that, murder laws.
Oh, those damn murder laws trying to protect people and stuff. So was the man actually injured then? Like, I'm assuming he was stabbed by this replica sword if this is where we're going with it.
Well, the police report still says Thompson stabbed the man once in the chest. He says that the man sustained a gash in his forehead after the estranged husband was managed to smash a flower pot over his head. Wow. So this
escalated.
Yeah. Thompson's girlfriend wasn't injured in this scuffle. Both men were taken to the hospital and treated for their injuries.
Yeah, the real culprit here is the girlfriend.
Yeah, for
letting... I should point that out. She called her estranged husband. Why? Well, whatever. And then she let him back into the house.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Really?
I mean, not to point the blame game here, but she's really kind of the instigator here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know who started the initial argument, but I mean, when you call your estranged husband and then let him back into
the house, yeah. That's a little dicey.
Yeah. Ooh, it's like a soap opera.
Yeah. Legend of Zelda.
Legend of Zelda's soap opera.
I just love that defense. He just walked right in the point of the sword. It's not my fault.
Oh, my
you
gosh.
You know how that happens.
I think in Florida, that's called the Stand Your Ground Law.
Oh.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong.
Oh.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
All right, let's get the next one up.
Here's our next story. The Kentucky Baptist Convention is taking its best shot at drawing new worshipers to Christ because they are going to hold Second Amendment celebrations.
What? Does that mean they're celebrating the Second Amendment or they're using the Second Amendment to celebrate something?
Well,
there are guns involved.
Yes.
Okay. That's all we needed to know.
And the next celebration, which is described, quote, as an official outreach to rednecks.
Oh, my God. Really? Have we reached the point where we're advertising specifically to the redneck community?
Yep. Will be held at the Lone Oak Baptist Church. And at this celebration, the 1,000 or so expected guests will all have a chance to dine on a free dinner and be given the chance to win a handgun, a long gun, and a shotgun.
Sega!
Shotgun!
Sega's involved too, apparently.
It's the Church of Sonic. Our Sonic, who art in Green Hill, hallowed be thy ring. Thy Robotnik come, thy will be done on earth as it is in the death egg.
Wow.
Give us this day our daily supersonic and lead us not into the spike pit.
Sega!
So apparently Sega's involved in this thing.
Yeah. I think that's a good combination. Church, Sega, and shotguns.
Yeah.
It just goes together, right? Wait, when you think God, isn't the first thing you think of is heavy artillery?
Yeah.
Right? I think God, Second Amendment. It's basically the same thing, right?
The Kentucky Baptist Convention's team leader for evangelism, Chuck McAllister, says that the purpose of the campaign is still to point people to Christ.
No, it's to point a gun down a range. This isn't about God anymore. This is about shooting.
He says, we have found that the number of unchurched men who will show up will be in direct proportion to the number of guns.
Men? Is that a thing? Unchurched men?
Yeah, unchurched men.
What about unchurched women? Do they not count? We don't give women the gun? I'm just asking. I mean, he specifically said unchurched men.
I'm reading the quote here.
Exactly.
He says that we have found that the number of unchurched men who will show up will be in direct proportion to the number of guns we give away. At a previous event, they gave out 80 guns, and 382 people decided to make a profession of faith to their church.
They're just doing it to get the guns. They're never coming back unless you give them ammo.
It's all worth it if they sign up for the church.
Shotgun!
You know, other churches do like bake sales, and they do like refreshments if they have an event. Like, you know, they have the little tiny cups of juice and like finger sandwiches and cookies and stuff. And these people are like, we got your M16s, we got shotguns, we got your handguns.
Shotgun!
Sega!
And Sega.
And right next to the shotgun is the Sega Genesis.
That's right. Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. You know what? I'm calling it right now. 2-3 weeks from now, we're going to get a story about how there was a gunfight in a church. Guess what? You brought it on yourselves.
Well, we're just trying to bring people closer to Christ.
Wow. You killed Bobby. No, I sent him home to God.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of sacramental wine. You know, get a little tipsy with the guns. All of a sudden, you have a massacre in a church.
It's a miracle! Woo-hoo!
Oh, wow. Yeah. Leonardo DiCaprio should have won an Oscar for that role.
Yeah.
It's a miracle! Woo-hoo!
Oh, boy.
Woo.
Right. Where was this church? Do we know where this church is from?
Kentucky.
Kentucky. The good old state of Kentucky.
More specifically, a town called Paducah.
Paducah.
Yeah.
There you go, folks. If you want a gun, join the Baptist Church in Paducah, Kentucky.
That's right.
There you go. Free guns. That has got to be illegal. That has got to be illegal. You can't just give away guns at a church event. That just seems wrong to me.
We had a story on the previous show I used to do that we had a car dealership that was giving away guns down south.
Oh, my gosh.
Because, you know, there's nothing like getting in your pickup truck that you just bought and then shooting the crap out of it.
Yeah, or using the gun you got to hold up the car dealership and get your money back. Money back guarantee.
Literally.
Yeah. I don't understand this. Why are people so obsessed with, like, you can draw people into anything with guns? You know, they should start giving away guns with jury duty. You won't have a shortage of jurors then.
Yeah, there
you go. Or what else is something that people always complain about? Going to the doctor's office, you know? It's time for a colonoscopy. Here's a gun. Come on down.
Don't hold the trigger when we do the colonoscopy.
Oh, boy. Little Billy, would you like a lollipop? I want a handgun. Well, there you go, son.
Okay.
And here's a sticker, too, for being a good little boy. It's ridiculous.
I love the Second Amendment.
Oh, boy.
All right. Ready for our next story
here?
Of
course.
A Pennsylvania woman who recently
PA.
Yeah, this is nice. Yeah, local.
How bad do we sound in this story?
A Pennsylvania woman who recently got married at a mall said that
well, there you go.
said that she is happy with her choice of wedding venue.
Okay. What mall? Is it any place that we would know?
Thomas and Lashiba Cunningham of Harrisburg got married at the Harrisburg East Mall on Saturday after their original venue fell through 2 weeks prior.
And they held the reception in the food court. McDonald's for everyone. Right?
We had the wedding between the food court at the movie theater.
Oh, see? There you go.
Wow, you called it.
Unbelievable.
She says that it was beautiful. They put seating out for us, and they even hired a pianist for us, and he played really good music.
Oh, my God. And you got the dogs barking in the pet store, and you got the kids running around. And
Old Navy's in the corner.
Old Navy. There's a giant guy wearing a phone costume twirling a sign somewhere.
Come to T-Mobile.
Yeah.
Now that you guys are married, you can do your taxes at H&R Block.
There you go. It's a one-stop shop, man. You know?
Yeah.
You see that? You go get married, then you go to the department store, you pick out the bed. And then
Did anybody forget presents? You're not in any trouble.
Yeah, there you go. You got all the stuff right there.
Go to Macy's.
You get hungry, you know, stop by a vending machine or something, or the food court because it's right there.
Yeah,
I think that was a smart decision. It was probably really cheap too. It was like $5, right? Where did they have everybody seated? Did they like drag over benches or something?
They said it was between the food court and the movie theater.
They should have.
You can watch a movie afterwards.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, this wedding's boring. What's on the other channels? Oh, Iron Man 3. All right. I don't know why I picked Iron Man 3.
Obama? Obama? So there you go.
That Harrisburg. Sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get married in a mall. There you go, people. You can get married in a mall.
Why not?
Save your money and it'll be, I think it'll be just as classy, don't you?
Why not?
Oh, wow. And you got everything you need there.
Yeah.
Got food. You got wedding gifts.
There's no excuse to forget a gift now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot a gift. Well, there's Sears right over there.
Go to Sears.
Or whatever other department. Macy's or whatever.
You have to set it up like a line. So before you even get to see the bride and groom, you have to go through Sears and buy something.
It's like rides at an amusement park. You get out of the wedding and you dump off into the gift shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's unavoidable. Would you like to take a pic? Would you like to get a picture from the wedding, the ride?
The wedding, the ride.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
I want to see malls start advertising this. We do weddings, too.
just at the last tagline on the commercial.
Yeah. Call us for your events. We do weddings, too. Oh, boy.
All right. You ready for our next story here?
Yep.
A California man is trying to have his way with McDonald's and supersize his bank account after he's decided to file a $1.5 million lawsuit that claims that he was only given one napkin when he ordered a quarter pounder deluxe.
Oh, did you say $1.5 million?
Yep. For one napkin.
Well, I went to Five Guys. I only got three. So could I sue Five Guys?
Well, Webster Lucas claims that when he complained to the manager at the McDonald's, he was told that he had already been given, quote, his total allotment of napkins.
Don't they have napkin dispensers?
Apparently not.
Do they have a ration on napkins? Oh, my gosh.
According to the report, Lucas, who is black, claims that the manager then mumbled something about, quote, you people.
Well, uh-oh.
Yep. Lucas emailed the general manager to complain about the, quote, undue mental anguish he was suffering, but got no reply from the general manager and then decided to file the lawsuit for $1.5 million.
I don't understand $1.5 million. Can you just sue anybody for any amount?
Apparently you can in America.
$1 billion, trillion, fifillion dollars, like yeah. Dr. Evil from Austin Powers.
And apparently for any reason at this point.
So if I wanted to, I could just sue you for $10 billion.
Yeah, I breathed on you.
You breathed on. How dare you? Damn you, Rich! I'm suing
Shut
you!
Up.
No, I mean, did he just pick this number
There's
right?
There's a common enemy! Kill him!
I want to know, did he just pick this number out of his ass? He's like, 1.5 million! For a napkin, really?
Yep, a napkin.
Oh my gosh, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. I mean, where does it end? Where does it end, the state of lawsuits in this country? Just sue anybody for anything.
Learn something there. Yeah, you can sue anybody for anything.
Literally. He sued McDonald's because of a napkin.
Yep.
Or was it because of the undue mental anguish?
Here's the exact quotes. The undue mental anguish from the, quote, total allotment of napkins.
Really? I want to see a lawyer argue that one. He was so distraught. Only one napkin. Do you know what toll that takes on a person? My client only received one napkin with a deluxe meal. Do you know the pressure that puts on him? He says, I can't get ketchup on my hand because I might need the napkin to wipe my mouth. I can't spill soda because I need the napkin to wipe my hand. He was stressed. He was under pressure. This was mental anguish. He couldn't enjoy his greasy hamburger because he was afraid he wouldn't have enough napkins to clean up afterwards. This, Your Honor, is why you should give my client $1.5 million so he will never be without a napkin ever again. That should be a stipulation. He has to spend the $1.5 million on napkins.
On all napkins.
He'll just build his house out of napkins. Just stacks and stacks. And then it rains. And he suffocates inside this melted mess of napkins. It's just, it's utterly ridiculous. That's the only word I can think of is ridiculous. Wow.
Yeah, I like that though. If he wins, he has to use the money for napkins.
Yeah, I think so. If I were the judge, I would totally do that. I'd be like, there you go. How you like them apples?
All right. You ready for our next story here?
Yep.
This one is just plain weird.
Okay. Well, that's like all of them, though.
Yeah, but this one is, you're going to ask why, and I don't have an answer for you.
Okay. Well, at least you're prepared then.
Yeah. Melissa Miller started using a knife to cut paper while she was at a Dunkin' Donuts.
What? What? What does that have to do with any? That doesn't make any sense.
Yep. While she was cutting the paper with her knife, she started screaming curse words and yelling and creating a scene at the popular donut chain. According to witnesses, Miller then took the paper she cut and used it to start a little fire in an ashtray in the restaurant.
Okay, so here comes the question. Why?
You're just not going to have an answer for it.
Oh, my gosh. This is undue mental anguish. I'm suing you for $1.5 million.
Well, as the fire burned, 42-year-old Melissa Miller then held the knife over the blaze to warm the blade that she had.
Is this like some sort of weird sacrificial ritual? She's sacrificing the hash browns from Dunkin' Donuts?
After she felt the blade was heated enough, she then began smacking the knife into the wall repeatedly.
What the hell is going on here?
As all of this was going on, she continued to curse and yell at any bystander or customer that questioned her motive.
All right, so let's go back. So she's at a Dunkin' Donuts. Let's break this down. She's just sitting there. Is she drinking coffee? I don't know. The point is she has a piece of paper for whatever reason. And she for some reason has a knife with her. And she starts cutting this paper. She makes a fire with the paper while she starts screaming curse words and obscenities. And she heats the blade up and then starts slamming the blade into the wall while cursing at people.
Yeah.
Wow.
Officers responded to the scene, found Miller hitting the wall.
At least she wasn't hitting people, right?
Yeah.
That's something.
She informed the cops that I'm using a knife and, quote, I need to learn how to build a fire.
I think she's mastered that part already.
The cops decided to charge her with disorderly conduct and arrested her on site. Dunkin' Donuts has also issued a no trespass request on her.
What else can the cops do? I mean, she didn't assault anybody.
Yeah,
she just sort of was
just damaged property.
She was just being general crazy. I mean, yeah. That is the purest definition of crazy, right?
Right. There.
There's no rhyme or reason for any of it.
She doesn't give any reasoning behind why she did it.
That's amazing.
She thought it was just a good time to start a fire.
I just think it's interesting that she walked into a Dunkin' Donuts with a piece of paper and a knife.
Yeah.
Like, she's ready to go. I got my loose leaf paper. I got my paper. I got my knife. And I'm going to do some arts and crafts.
And I'm at Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm at Dunkin' Donuts.
Time for me to start a fire.
It's time to begin.
It's time to start a fire. Well, luckily she wasn't on fire. And luckily no one was hurt.
Yeah, really. Somebody's so unstable like that.
Yeah. But apparently she was a nice fire lady.
I guess so. You very rarely run into a person wielding a knife starting fires who doesn't injure people.
Yeah, she just wanted to be left alone while she started a fire at Dunkin' Donuts.
Listen, lady, I'm starting my fire over here. Just back off. You eat your donut. I'll start my fire. We each do our own things, okay?
I thought this was America.
Isn't that the 11th Amendment? I can start fires wherever I want. Oh, my God.
So there you go. That was when I read that story, that was just pure crazy. You're not going to understand it. She just decided to start a fire at Dunkin' Donuts.
That is a psych study right there, for sure.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yep.
We've been having some Barbie themes lately in our odd news stories.
Okay.
I'm
worried now because I remember the last one.
A California man is accused of assaulting a woman while wearing a pink Barbie costume.
Of course. Why not? I'm not surprised.
40-year-old Gregory Schwartz was arrested Sunday afternoon in conjunction with the assault, which took place in the bathroom of a San Diego Big Lots store. The victim was using the restroom when the suspect entered her stall dressed like Barbie. Yeah, pretty weird here.
Was this the person from a week ago that wanted to be like Barbie?
Well, no, this is definitely a guy.
Oh, okay.
I was looking and I saw 2 feet slowly planted on the floor and they were a man's bare feet. He went underneath the stall really quickly, and then he came into my stall, and the door was still locked. I didn't have time to act, she says. She noted that the suspect was wearing a Barbie outfit. Luckily, the victim fought back and managed to escape without any injury. Schwartz ran out soon after with a jacket over his pink Barbie shirt, and when a security guard tried to confront him, Schwartz allegedly threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
That's very Barbie-like of him.
Yeah.
That's construction worker Barbie. Yeah, they always have a Barbie for, like, every single job.
Yeah, there you go. Construction worker Barbie.
Like, sewage worker Barbie. Trash man Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
Criminal assault Barbie.
In a criminal world, assaulting people in the bathroom.
I have a screwdriver. I'm gonna stab you in the eye.
Get out of my way. Need to make an escape.
Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. Come on, Barbie. Let's do crime. So this is a criminal assault Barbie.
Yeah,
she comes with a removable screwdriver, but no shoes apparently.
No.
Doesn't know how to accessorize, I guess.
No. Luckily, the victim is okay, but unfortunately, the suspect has not been arrested. So this Barbie maniac is on the loose.
Wait, I thought he was confronted by police.
Yeah, but then Schwartz threatened to stab him with a screwdriver.
Wait, doesn't the cop have a gun?
No, it's a security guard.
Oh, security. Don't they have tasers or batons?
I don't know. I guess
you're just going to let him go? Be like, oh, he's got a screwdriver. Screwdriver beats gun.
Screwdriver beats whatever stupid fake weapon I have.
All I have is a plastic taser. Doesn't do anything. So there you go. All you need to commit crimes is a Barbie outfit and a screwdriver.
Yeah.
Basically, California. Do whatever you want.
That's in California.
Wow.
All right. Well, guess what? We're going to continue the Barbie theme.
More Barbie? Oh, my gosh.
And this is a one-up of last week's dumb Barbie girl story.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. If you guys remember last week, we had the story of a Barbie fanatic who wanted to purposely be dumber to be like Barbie.
This actually upset me quite a bit last week. I got kind of heated about it, if I remember correctly.
Well, a Ukrainian model has decided to one-up the California dumb Barbie girl.
So wait, she's doing this because of the other one?
Yep. A Ukrainian model is one-upping the California dumb Barbie girl by saying that she eventually hopes to live without eating or drinking at all.
Oh my God. Come on.
Yeah. Valeria Lukanova, whose doll-like features and ultra-thin waist have stirred controversy in the past, has said that she is now going to make it her goal to survive on air and light alone.
So she's a plant. Photosynthesis.
Photosynthesis Barbie.
Oh, my God. No water, just air and light?
She says, quote, in recent weeks, I have not been hungry at all. I'm hoping it's the final stage before I can subsist on air and light alone.
Is she like a Pokemon? She's evolving? The final stage? Oh my gosh. This is just getting more absurd.
She says that she wants to be on a new age practice known as Breatharianism, in which followers neither eat nor drink.
The hell are you talking about? Breatharianism?
Apparently this is a thing.
Is that like veganism to the extreme?
Breatharianism has followers that neither eat or drink because they believe that they can exist solely on, quote, cosmic microfood.
Unfortunately, there are currently zero members of this following because they're all dead.
Objection!
You can't live on air alone, people.
Well,
you will probably die. It's scientifically proven. You need water.
Well, this Barbie girl thinks different.
Well, I'll tell you what. She's definitely mastered the dumb part.
Yeah.
She's got the California girl beat on that one. By far. I mean, at least the other one's still eating with her giant plastic boobs and her psychoanalyzed stupidity.
Yeah. Lukanova believes in reincarnation and claims to have been in contact with transdimensional beings who has told
this
her...
This story got really weird really fast.
Who has told her that her Barbie-like appearance should be used to promote her new spiritual ideas.
which are, does she have a manifesto yet?
This Breatharianism.
Breatharianism. These beings from another dimension, were they possibly hallucinations from hunger?
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think that
probably
might,
most definitely.
That might be a realistic answer.
She should get in touch with the Scientologists. This story, the Dunkin' Donut one was weird. There was no rhyme or reason to that one. But this one, I think, actually takes the cake. Because she actually believes she can subsist on nothing but but air. But then she takes a step further and says, I was in contact, what did she say, with alien?
With
or,
trans-dimensional beings.
Trans-dimensional beings. Not aliens, not spirits, trans-dimensional beings. That means things from another universe, another dimension. This is Bioshock Infinite brought to the real life.
With Barbie.
With a Barbie instead of Elizabeth. Trans-dimensional beings.
Yep.
I just can't get over that part. That's where the story took like a crazy left turn, and it never came back.
All right, and I got one last story
for you. Oh, that wasn't the last one?
No.
Oh, my gosh. Is this one Barbie, too, or no?
No, we're done with Barbie now. Thank God. We've had enough Barbie.
Yeah.
All right, here's our last story, and it's the ultimate dinner and a date.
Okay.
Thanks to FirstWeFeast.com, we are now blissfully aware of what made an 18-year-old who goes by the codename Versace Pockets decide to post evidence that he had sex with a Hot Pocket.
Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. I quit. You got to be kidding me. Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. Oh, my God. Like almost 1 year to the date that I uttered that stupid phrase. Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. So clearly he's a fan of the show.
Yeah, he must.
And it wasn't advice, people. It was a joke about a story about eating in bed.
Yeah.
This person, I'm sorry that this happened to him.
Well, Versace Pockets chose to fornicate with one of America's favorite savory pastries, post evidence on Vine, and try to become internet famous.
When he says evidence, I hope he doesn't mean evidence.
Yes.
Oh, God.
He said, quote, I thought it was so effing funny. He also hinted that he did it on Twitter so that he could gain followers. But all of this plan has backfired because...
No! You're telling me that having sex with a Hot Pocket on Twitter blew up in his face? Are you kidding me? I wouldn't have guessed it. Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.
Oh
my God.
It all backfired because the content that he posted was explicit, and now he's banned from Twitter, Vine, and officially blocked by Hot Pockets and is currently facing legal action for defacing the name Hot Pocket.
He just raped a ham and cheese Hot Pocket. I can't believe that it would consent to that. Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. This is unbelievable. Oh my gosh. What an idiot.
In the Vine video, he recommends that if anybody else is looking to do the same thing, he says the quote, I tried to do it once without a condom and it was way too hot. Put it in the fridge.
What an idiot. Oh man, it's steam coming out here. The cheese is freshly melted. I wonder if I can stick my dick in it. Oh wait, I'm sorry.
It's okay. He gives advice. Put the Hot Pocket in the fridge for a little bit. Or go use a condom.
What are these, like the 10 how-to steps? Step one, microwave the Hot Pocket. Step two, take it out. Step three, have sex with it. And then he revises it. Step four. Oh my gosh. That is just insane. Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. Oh, boy.
And there you go. That is what I have for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
I'm just amazed that that quote came up again. The Hot Pocket. I thought I had outlived it, but no.
No, and matter of fact, I think that made your clip like 15 times worse.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then. You know, nobody's going to remember what the original context of that clip is.
Not anymore. Not anymore. Sorry, Mike.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks.
But there you go. That is what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. And I think with that, I think we need to begin our recap portion of the show. Folks, it's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Ooh. All right, Mike, what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
Hot Pockets. Not even once.
Yes.
Don't do Hot Pockets. Yes, literally.
I would agree.
That quote is going to go down in infamy now.
Yeah.
Thanks. I've learned, don't talk about Hot Pockets. Don't mention them. Don't eat them. Don't think of them. But other than that, we've also learned that Barbie is like now an aspiration for people.
Right.
To be like Barbie. And apparently, I've learned this, that you can just live on air and light. You can, if you want to, become a plant.
Apparently.
And use photosynthesis.
That's photosynthis Barbie.
Yeah, that goes alongside Crimosol Barbie.
Yeah.
And
with a screwdriver.
With a screwdriver. That's right.
I've learned that you can sue anybody for anything in America.
Just about.
Just give it a shot.
Just, you know, it never hurts, right?
Yeah.
Just give it a shot.
An old law college try.
We learned that you can have weddings at malls.
Why not?
Which seems cost effective and convenient.
Yeah.
So think about it, people. Think about it. We also learned that he walked into the point of my sword is a valid defense.
Yeah.
In court cases.
Up.
It'll hold up. Yeah, definitely. Don't take a nap in Mississippi because they'll try to bury you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's another big one.
And I've also learned that I always try to bring it back to football, as I did right now.
Yeah. Look at you. You do
always,
it again.
Always with the football. Did you learn anything, Rich?
I've relearned that Allen Iverson, one of the best players to ever play for the Sixers.
One of the best of all time, I
best
think.
Of all time, period.
Yeah. We learned that the Oscars is fun and that they can get pizza delivered to the Oscars.
Yeah.
That was cool. I thought that was neat.
Celebrities are just like us.
Yay! No, they're not.
And there you go. That is what we have learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
There's the conclusion music. We got to wrap up this show. Oh my gosh, what a show, Mike.
Oh, another good one. Another good one.
Well, there you go. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can get some of the highlights of our past shows. But most importantly, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your smartphone, your MP3 player, or your tablet. You can listen to us anywhere, anytime, at work, on the go, at home. Just search The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And if you want to get your first crack at the Crispy Noodle, make sure to tune in to Totally Driven Entertainment's Blog Talk Radio page Wednesday night from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. That is where we broadcast the debut of each week's new episode. So if you want your noodle extra crispy, make sure to check us out there. But if you can't do it then, definitely check into the podcast and you'll have each new episode loaded, ready to go on your device. Or stream it on the website. We also have that option available
well. That's right. We're everywhere. You must find us. We're everywhere on the internet. You can't not find us.
That's right. So there you go. We're everywhere on the internet, period.
We are. And one quick programming update. Make sure to stay tuned throughout the month of March, because we're going to be having another round of the Movie Madness Showdown.
That's right.
Coming up this month.
We're in the early planning stages. The bracket is forming.
That's
so
right.
So stay tuned to the website. The bracket will be up shortly. But as for right now, that'll do it for us. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life. and boring news. What a show, Mike.
Oh, another great one. Another great one.
You'll never look at Hot Pockets the same way.
No, no. I'm going to never live that quote down.
All right. Well, let's go. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Sure, I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight then.